In message one, we considered how the Lord told us that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming, the parousia, of the Son of Man. And if we are not yet living in days like this, it's very likely, I think, that soon we will be. And it will increase and intensify until the overcomers are raptured and the Great Tribulation begins. And we saw, to some extent in that message, how we want to live a normal, practical human life outwardly, daily, but inwardly, those that are rapture ready, the one brother taken, one sister taken as they were working, they're living in a divine realm inwardly as they're living and working in the human physical realm outwardly. Then in message two, we emphasize the need to be saved from this crooked and perverted generation. There are only two things on the earth, this crooked, perverted generation and the genuine church life, the life of building up the ark, the corporate Christ, to bring us out of this age into the coming age, the manifestation of the kingdom. And now, as I indicated in the very beginning, in the opening word to message one, the first two messages are closely related. But it might seem that message three is so different from the first two. God's need for our cooperation and for prayers that express His will. But if we keep in mind the basic thoughts and the burdens in messages one and two, we will gradually see that those who are being saved from this evil generation, those who are being built up into the corporate Christ, those who are living an inward life that makes them ready to be raptured, surely they are cooperating with God. And they're caring for God's will, desire, good pleasure, purpose, economy. This is in the heart of these believers. And so we need to learn what it means to give God our cooperation. And then prayers that express God's will. We'll see when we come to that part of the outline that there are many kinds of genuine prayers. I say the word genuine because, as I'll explain later, there are prayers in form, but they're not really prayers. As Brother Nice said, prayers that are not prayers. But that hymn in the hymnal, pray to fellowship with Jesus. This is one kind of prayer. We're not praying weighty things concerning particular situations at that time. It's praying just to enjoy the Lord, to be with Him, to have fellowship with Him. And then in Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, don't be anxious Let your requests be made known to God. That's prayer. We sense we have a need. There's a situation. We're concerned about it. We may be worried about it. You shouldn't be thinking, well, you shouldn't pray about this. You need to pray only for high things. Well, that's the prayer ministry of the church. Here we need this personal, intimate prayer with the Lord for fellowship and for our needs being met. As the Lord was teaching us to pray, we pray for God's name to be sanctified, for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done on earth. But He also told us to pray for our daily bread, to be delivered from the evil one. And so my point is that prayers that express God's will are intrinsically related to building the corporate Christ, to living and overcoming rapturable, if there's such a word as that, life. So that's the two subject of this message. Roman numeral one, in order for His will to be done on earth and for His eternal purpose to be fulfilled, God needs our cooperation. And all the way through this part of the outline and this portion of the message is realizing that God has a need. God has needs. Some theologians or professional ministers that graduated from seminaries that emphasize Reformed theology, Calvinism, they might be bothered by this. God's need. God doesn't need anything. He's God. He's omniscient. He knows all. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Well, we all know that. When God created the universe and all the things in it, even He created angels, of course, before He created a number of other things. He did this all by Himself. Only God can do that. He didn't need any need. There was no one to pray anyway, no one to coordinate yet. But now, in space and time, in this present age, God's will must be done on the earth. The Lord taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done as it is in heaven. It must be done on earth. And God's purpose needs to be fulfilled, not all by Himself, but through His chosen, redeemed, saved, regenerated people, those who have consecrated themselves to Him, especially those taking the way of God's economy in the Lord's recovery of the churches. He wants His will to be done on earth. And so He charged us to pray for this. If no one prays, God's will not be done on earth until those prayers ascend. And God's eternal purpose must be fulfilled. God's eternal purpose is to have the church as the body of Christ, the one new man, consummating as the new Jerusalem, the corporate person, the wife of the redeeming God. He needs human beings. He created us for this, to express him, to represent him. He wants us to be one with him, coordinate with him, and cooperate with him. So in this sense, God has needs. And now as we go through, this should become increasingly clear. A, God can carry out on earth what he has planned in heaven only when he has people who will coordinate with him. What an important thought. God wants to carry out his plan on earth. But he needs people on earth to cooperate with him. God needs to gain people on earth who will cooperate with him and work with him according to his mind. Here again we have God needs to gain people on earth. We have no idea how many angels, faithful angels in heaven, cooperating with him, but he needs to gain people on earth who will cooperate with him, who will work with him according to his mind, not according to human thoughts, human opinions, preferences, various kinds of feelings, God's mind. The mind of Christ needs to be in us, Paul says. Two, as long as there are those who are of the same mind as God and are willing to work with him, God's work will be carried out on earth. Okay, those who are of the same mind as God. So here's an illustration. If we carefully read and study with the proper help, John chapter 14, we will eventually realize, because it's revealed, God's thought in this chapter. But for centuries, this chapter, John 14, has been seriously misinterpreted and taught erroneously. And here are at least two big mistakes. The Lord says, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. I go to prepare a place for you. And the human mind, the fallen, unrenewed religious mind, often trained by seminaries, in seminaries, they say, this is heaven. Of course, it's heaven. The Lord is now going to heaven. And he's going to prepare a wonderful place for each one of us to live there. And then the other point is, the Lord said, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so the teaching is, see, that's when the Lord will come again. And he will rapture us And now for hundreds of years, you know, he used to be a carpenter. Some would even say that. He's building a wonderful dwelling place for us. This is a religious human thought. It's the mind of a fallen human being, even though they're believers, their mind is not renewed. When we have the mind of God by being renewed in the spirit of our mind, mentioned in Ephesians 4:23 and Romans 12:2, we begin to understand the Father's house is not heaven. It's the church as the dwelling place of God. And we as the children of God all have a place in the Father's house, the church. And when the Lord said, "When I come, I will receive you to myself," he was referring to his appearing after his resurrection. He said, "In that day," verse 20, "you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." This is the divine thought. And that day is the day of his resurrection. And so the Lord really needs believers who are willing and desiring to have the same mind as God, and they're willing to work with God. B, our eyes need to be open to see that God has his limitations, and to see how we should cooperate with him. God has his limitations. Before I go through all the subpoints, I think it will be helpful if I speak freely, meaning according to the inner leading of the anointing. Some may be shocked to read this. God has his limitations. I say again, in his Godhead, eternally, our God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent everywhere. In eternity past, before he created human beings, and in eternity future, God will have no needs, he will have no limitations. But God has placed limitations on himself. And he did this because he wants us to be one with him, cooperate with him, have the same mind as he has, and work with him. So from the time that God created human beings, God limited himself for a lengthy period of time, humanly speaking, while we're all on the earth. And he created human beings with a will. We're not puppets, we're not robots. We were created with a will to make choices. And this is where the limitation comes in. Whether or not we exercise our will to be one with God and coordinate with him, that is a matter of great significance. If we do, then God is able to do whatever he wants. But if we We simply don't know what God wants. He wants to build his house. So many religious people want to go to heaven. There's no way they can help God. They're hindering him. So God created us with a human will. And so he limits himself for this period of time to the extent to which we cooperate with him, the extent to which we are one with him. So this is the limitation. If no one is one with him, no one is cooperating with him, then God must wait and do what only God can do in Christ to gain people who will be one with him and coordinate with him. And then looking forward to the matter of prayer, consider the prayer that we are all familiar with in Matthew 6. Teach us, the Lord said, pray like this to our Father in heaven. May your name be sanctified. May your will be done. May your kingdom come. The Lord wants to do many things. It's the desire of his heart to do these things, but he will not act alone. He will not function unilaterally, all by himself. He has established the principle of prayer, is that I want something to be done, I desire for it to happen on the earth, but I need my people to pray for me to do this. So they will either limit me by not praying or not praying according to my desire, my will, or they may release me from these limits because now I can do whatever I want because I have dear people on the earth who are living for this, who are cooperating with him. Okay, point 1, point B and following. I read point B. It may be helpful to read it again. Our eyes, the eyes of our heart, need to be opened that God has his limitations, and we need to see how we should cooperate with him. One, God is omnipotent, but his omnipotence is subject to limitations because he must have certain conditions suitable for his working. And here we have Matthew 7:21. The Lord said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of our Father who is in the heavens. This means God is limited to those who will do his will, who will cooperate with him. So this is a limitation he placed on himself. Two, man was created with a free will. The limitations of God began at this point because God decided, I want to work with man. I want to carry out what the desire of my heart through people on the earth. I need to have people who are one with me and coordinate with me. This is the limitation he placed on himself. A, in creation, God put his almighty power under the limitation of the human will. God did this. He now limits himself to the human will. It seems like he's saying, I'm not creating a new universe all by myself before there's space and time. Only I can do this. Now I want to accomplish something on the earth, and I will not use my almighty power to do it. Rather, I create human beings with a will, and I am limited to what they will to do. This is the limitation. Little b, God wants the human will to be on his side. Therefore, he accepts the limitation that his desire entails. God wants. And let's make this more direct. God wants us to be on his side. God wants this. Therefore, he accepts the limitations that this desire entails. So he decided, I want these brothers and sisters, children of God, who are participating in this conference in some way, I want them to be on my side. I want them to work with me. This I have determined. And I'm willing to be limited in the way that as much as what they are willing to do, I will also do. The more they are obedient and willing and cooperating, coordinating, the more I will be able to do. Three, as members of Christ's organic mystical body, we are either expressing him or limiting him. Now we are focusing on what we are in Christ through God's wisdom and loving kindness to bring us together in the Lord's recovery, to live out his will and eternal purpose as this age is nearing the end. But it's a fact, and many of us can bear witness to this, that in the church life, in meetings, in gatherings, we either express Christ or limit him. So here is an actual illustration from a considerable number of saints in a particular church in the United States some years ago. Like so many other places, they had group meetings in homes during the week. And this happened to be a sister. Why her? I don't know. Sent out an email to, maybe 20 or 30 saints in different groups and said, we're all coming together this Friday. And what we will do is have a meal together and then sing and be joyful. The group meetings in homes are for mutual perfecting, helping one another to go on. Do you think it is God's desire for us to come together and just have a happy time? Oh, we just enjoy this so much. Good food. And then now, after we eat, we're not really pursuing the truth here. We're not shepherding one another here and praying for one another here. We're not having fellowship concerning preaching the gospel and some friends and contacts we have. We're not here for mutual shepherding. We're here to have a happy time, mainly singing. This actually happened. There have been other kinds of meetings, prayer meetings. I'll mention that in a definite way shortly. The Lord is expressed through some prayers, and the Lord is limited by other so-called prayers. Okay, this is a conference, it's not a training. So there's a limitation. But we shouldn't think every time we meet together, we're expressing Christ corporately and carrying out God's will. That may or may not be the case. A, the Lord needs to bring us to the point where we have nothing to hinder him from doing whatever he wills. God wants to bring each one of us to this point after his nourishing us, cherishing us, shepherding us, training us, dealing with us, disciplining us. He may have saints who can say, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me to a place I've never been before. I am willing to do whatever you will. Whatever's in your heart concerning me, whatever is your will, I am here for you to carry it out. I lay aside my natural feelings, my opinions. I lay aside the opinions of others who've been telling me this and that. I am here for your will to be done. I believe the Lord has a considerable number of brothers and sisters like this, and he needs more of all ages. We're telling him, Lord, do whatever you will. Would you please consider, maybe sometime today or when you have some time with the Lord, to tell him, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you will. Brothers and sisters who are parents, you have daughters and sons who are in the later part of the teenage years. Some of them are young adults. What do you want to be done in their life? Your will for them? Their self-will? Or for God's will? God needs saints of all ages throughout the earth who will not hinder him from doing whatever he wills. B, once the Lord has brought us to a place of total responsiveness to him, he will have a free and unhindered way to accomplish his will. Then there will be nothing that God cannot do to carry out his purpose on earth. I don't want to name in this message any persons or any places on the earth. I think since I'm living in California, in the United States, I can refer to this country. What is the will of God? What does he want to be done in the United States right now, in the midst of the present situation? What is his will for all the churches? What is his will concerning places on the earth with war and chaos and lawlessness and violence and so many things are taking place? He needs people who cooperate with him to such a degree that there will be nothing that God cannot do to carry out his purpose on earth. And this brings us to the second section. God needs the prayer that expresses his will, or the past tense is here, that expressed his will. And here we have the principle applied to prayer. His will be done on earth if we pray genuine prayers that express his will. Now, I'm just considering how to approach this. When we speak of prayers that express his will, that indicates that there can be prayers that do not express his will, that express our will. What we want, what we feel, what we think. And I'm not talking about the prayers I mentioned before, the prayers of fellowship with the Lord. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just pray for you to dispense yourself into me. Lord, make your home in my heart. Lord, grow in me. Save me in life today and day by day. And we come to God our Father and say, Father, I have needs. I pray for the daily bread, what I need for to live a human life. And I need you to protect me, to deliver me. And I'm worried about my children. Father, in the public schools in California, it's terrible. You can just pour out your heart of the things that concern you. The Lord wants to care for you. He said, make your requests known to God. Let's say, what I'll tell now actually happened, something very similar happened to me decades ago and to many of you. So here's a little girl, 6 years old. And one day she comes to Daddy, and she's smiling, and she was coming to ask Daddy for something. Said, Daddy, will you please buy me a pony? A pony. And then Daddy would say, dear, we're living in a big city, and it's against the law to have a pony. And we couldn't, there's no place for him in the backyard. We're not allowed to have a pony. I cannot give you a pony. How about a little kitten? Yes, Daddy, thank you. I'd like to have a kitty. The father didn't say to his daughter, why do you ask me for a pony? Don't you care for what's in my heart, for your life, for your future, for the family? He would never talk that way. He would say, it's so good you would come and make your request known. Then I'm just talking with you. I'm not able to buy you a pony. If one day we had a farm far away, had the land, maybe. But now how about a kitty? I'm talking about especially prayers in the prayer meeting, the prayer meetings of the church. And in the prayer meetings of the church, hundreds and hundreds of them over more than 5.5 decades. In these meetings, there have been prayers that truly expressed God's will. And there have been so-called prayers that only expressed the emotions of the one speaking or the opinions of the ones praying. They really express the self, not God's will. In one of his books on, you know, being trained to be vital and to have vital companions and vital groups, Brother Lee quotes at length some of Brother Nee's speaking on, quote, prayers that are not prayers. You may sound, how can that be? Well, when someone is praying, there's a certain action, isn't there? There's a certain way of speaking. So you can say that's a prayer. Someone's asking God for something or pleading with God. Isn't that a prayer? Well, it's a prayer according to the human view. But in the eyes of God, they are not prayers. I have been in many, many prayer meetings in which there's been a kind of spiritual battle taking place. And the Lord is there needing us to pray The enemy sends his helpers to interfere. And some pray a genuine prayer according to God. And then right away, some just pray for themselves. I just wonder, when will this stop? And I don't know. I think this is a local matter. Meaning, maybe there should be a mini conference or a mini training on how to have a prayer meeting, how to have the Lord's table meeting. I've been very much helped from time to time by reading carefully some of Brother Lee's hymns on prayers, on prayer. And I just would like to read a few lines from Hymn 779, and then 780. Okay, stanza 1. Pray with one accord in spirit, not according to our thought, but alone by the anointing as the Lord has ever sought. So let's say in your prayer meeting, the brothers have provided a list of items for prayer. Okay, that's up to them. If they feel to do that, we honor the leading brothers. And then some just pray from their mind with the words on the list. They're praying according to their thought, not by the anointing. Instead of we come to the point to say, Lord, we bring this matter to you, this subject. We'd like to be one with you, Lord, leading us to pray. And then a prayer flows out from the anointing. Then the second stanza, pray with one accord in spirit by the cross. Deny the soul, all desires, and all intentions. Let the spirit now control. And so our soul, with its desires, its intentions, it has to be dealt with by the cross and controlled. But if in prayer meetings, or even in little group meetings of prayer, some just pray, I would say almost recklessly, this is what I feel, this is what's in my heart, this is what I think, this is my view of the matter. They're not saying those words, but that is what they're expressing. And those that have the discernment, they can't say amen. And they will not say amen to that. What a difference when the prayer originates with the Lord, it's His will. Maybe more than 15, maybe about 15 years ago, there was a prayer meeting in Anaheim, the English speaking, maybe about 135 saints there. And this is what was happening for at least 20 minutes. A number of saints were trying to pray, but three sisters, they happened to be older. One would pray strongly, then the second one would pray, then the third one would pray. They would keep doing this over and over. And you could tell on the countenance of the many saints, they're just frustrated. And so what happened, under the leading of the Spirit, then one brother, a responsible brother, He had the leading to stand up. That's unusual. And this is what the brother said, brothers and sisters. I believe that the Lord wants to turn the direction of our prayer. There's something He wants us to pray for. And so in order to know this, we all need to be calm now. Let's calm ourselves and inwardly seek the Lord. And so it was quiet. And many of us were praying inwardly, Lord, what is this? Then listen, this actually happened. Then the Lord anointed a faithful middle-aged sister to begin praying about the Northeast. The Lord had been held back for 30 years in that part of the country to pray for the Lord to really go on, have a new beginning there, and the heavens opened. And then the Lord moved in a marvelous way to the Boston area in the years that followed. But let's say no one had prayed for that. What was on God's heart would not have been accomplished on the earth. But of course, on the altogether positive side, we've been in prayer meetings where the saints have been learning to set themselves aside. We're coming to pray according to what is in the Lord's heart. He's praying in His heavenly ministry. We want to enter into that. And we pray for that. And those prayer meetings are glorious, and I believe bring joy to God our Father. Then a little from hymn 780. Praying always in the Spirit, never in the flesh or mind. If this secret we will practice, God's full presence we will find. The chorus. Praying always in the Spirit, in the secret is the secret we are told. In the Spirit, God to contact is the secret we must hold. Second stanza. Praying always in the Spirit, never by our human thought. Fellowship with God the Spirit, only thus to us is brought. I just ask, when, especially when we're coming together to pray, when will all the saints stop praying from their mind, praying from their emotion, praying from their personal view? The Lord needs prayers that express His will. Oh, to reach the end of a prayer meeting and have the inner sense to thank and praise the Lord. Your will was expressed throughout the meeting tonight. Your will is being done on earth right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for training us to have prayers that express the will of God. Now we can read through this part of the outline. God is a God of purpose, having a will of His own pleasure. And he created all things for his will, that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose. Revelation 4:11, referring to all the positive things in creation. Because of your will, they were created. God's will is his heart's desire, his mingling with man, and the fulfillment of his eternal plan. So we pray for God's will, we pray for his heart's desire to be fulfilled. We pray for his mingling with man. We pray for the fulfillment of his eternal plan. 2, the will of God is to obtain a body for Christ to be his fullness, his expression. This is his will. He needs powerful anointed prayers concerning the body, the reality of the body, the building up of the body. 3, the Father's eternal will is to build up the church upon Christ, the Son, as the rock. This is his will. Christ said, I will build my church on this rock. We need to pray prayers that express this will. It's the desire of God's heart. It's the reason he created the universe, is for his will to be carried out, to have the church built upon Christ, the church as the body of Christ. 4, the kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom is God's will. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. They go together. Your kingdom come. Where are the prayers for the kingdom to come? That's the coming age. Lord, we want this age to end. We want the kingdom to come in glorious manifestation. Right now, we're praying for the kingdom to come inwardly, to be our reality. This is your will. 5, as believers in Christ, we are on the earth to do the Father's will. I already referred to Matthew 7:21. In Matthew 12:50, the Lord is teaching to and ministering to a crowd of people. And some people called out to him, said, your family's here, your mother, brothers, sisters. And the Lord answered, he who does the will of my Father, he is my brother or sister or mother. What a statement. To do the will of God's Father makes us a sister, a brother, even a mother in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. So, little A says, whoever does the will of the Father is a relative of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be a blessing for him to be able to say to this sister, this faithful sister, you're my sister. You were one with me in doing the Father's will. All of your prayers, and the prayers with you and your companions, they express the Father's will. I'm not only your Lord. I'm your brother. You're my sister. We're in the same family. We're relatives. Little B, we need to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. Section B. God needs us to offer prayers that are the expression of His will. And I hope that many of us will pray personally and with some others. Father God, train us, teach us to offer prayers that express your will. Maybe the elders, the leading brothers in their churches would pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Be gracious to us. Train us to offer prayers in our prayer meetings that express God's will. One, prayer is the union of the believer's will with God's will. So here we have will again in both sections. Our will is one with Him. Now God's will can be done. And what's on God's heart will be expressed in our prayer. Two, the greatest use of the church is the fact that it stands for God's will to be done on earth. The church in your locality, wherein you are right now, it's standing there for God's will to be done on earth. In 1970, close to 52 years ago, I was still quite unlearned, only 4 years in the recovery. How could you develop much and know much in 4 years? But I was with those who migrated to Chicago, largely from Southern California. And now for 52 years, the lampstand has been standing in Chicago, unshakable, to standing for God's will to be done in that part of the earth. Same thing in New York City, in Seattle, in Dallas, in Shanghai, in London, in Berlin, in Tokyo, in Seoul, Korea, in Moscow. What a privilege to be in such a church life, standing for God's will to be done. Three, for the church to pray means that it finds out God's will and speaks out God's will. That would be a message itself. How do we find out God's will? And then we speak His will. So we need to come to Him, poor in spirit, pure in heart, seeking first the kingdom. Father, what is your will for us to pray, to express in our prayer? And the Lord will guide us. He will show us. Four, for the church to pray means that it stands on God's side to declare that it wants what God wants. And as I'm speaking this, saints in certain cities, in the midst of difficult situations, at least some saints are praying. We are standing here in the midst of this situation, declaring we want what God wants. We bind and reject what Satan wants. We want what God wants. 5. God's works on earth can be accomplished only when there is a will on earth that agrees with God. A will on earth that agrees with God. In 1991, when the Lord made it known to Brother Lee that God wants the gospel, the truth, in the Lord's recovery to now go to the Russian-speaking world, that is what God wants. Then that led to prayer, to fellowship, to a conference, to training. And saints did what God wanted. They prayed for that. They prepared for that. They moved for that. They lived for that. We are the will of God people. Now the small letters. A, God's will can be accomplished only when there is a will on earth that cooperates with Him. We emphasize this, only when our will is cooperating with Him. Whenever man's will is not one with God's will, God is limited. God must have our will in harmony with His will. He must, in harmony. This is what God wants. This is His will. And we are fully one, we're in harmony. Like mentioned in Matthew 18, two or three gather together in the Lord's name, they are in harmony praying. We are in harmony with God, with His will. See, even though God has a will, He wants the free will on earth to echo His will before He does anything. Wow, what a statement is this. In 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to God's will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the answer to our petitions. He wants the free will on earth to echo His will. God will make His way known to the churches who are carrying out the prayer ministry of the church. They're seeking Him earnestly, even desperately. What is on your heart? What is your will? We're praying about this particular situation affecting millions of people. It's so serious. What is your will? What do you want? Lord, we lay aside our thoughts and feelings, and somehow He'll make His will known as He did in that prayer meeting about the northeast section of the United States, that area. D, after we know God's will, we can say to Him, Lord, we want You to do this. We are determined that You should do this. Oh, the Lord loves to hear this. Now we know we are one with Him in what He wills. And we can say to Him, Lord, we want You to do this. We're not just saying, Lord, You want to do it. Do it. No, we want it. You studied John 15:7 in the footnote. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Because we abide in the Lord, His words abide in us, make His will known. His will becomes our will, His desire becomes our desire, and we can pray, Lord, We want you to do this because we want God to do what he wants to do. And then he does it. Lord, you must do this. This is what's on your heart. This is your burden. Any prayer that is not according to God's will is useless. Useless. I myself, I have to confess this, and especially during a period of learning, a long period, I've offered prayers that were useless. They're just expressions of something in me I was concerned about or desperate about or wanted, whatever. And they were useless. They were never heard, never answered. And I fully agree with the no's. F, a prayer that is uttered according to God's will is a most powerful thing. Wow. The most powerful thing. If you study those verses in Mark 11, 22 to 24, when the Lord spoke to the fig tree, and then what? It withered away, it died. And if we have the faith of God, the faith in God, and we know the will of God, and his will of God, the will of God is to remove this barrier, this mountain. We don't just cry, Lord, God, God, move the mountain. We speak to the mountain, be gone. The way of the Lord must be open. Be removed. This is the powerful prayer ministry of the church. G, praying in agreement with God is more important than doing anything else. What a statement. Praying in agreement with God is more important than doing anything else. This is our church life. Praying according to God. And maybe this will become a prayer within many of us. So many different saints, serving ones, co-workers, elders, leading brothers, sisters who are really shepherding others. Lord, we want to pray in agreement with God. Train us to pray according to what God wants. We agree with God. His will is our will. And now our will is your will expressed. And our prayers express the will of God. As your brother, I just long as I'm saying this, I don't have the words. The yearning, the longing for the Lord to uplift to the highest level the prayer ministry of the church so that nonstop, I mean that, prayer continually all over the earth, in meetings, in little groups, in vital companions, and brothers and sisters praying alone personally, but in the spirit of the body. Praying in agreement with God all the time until the end of the age, all the time until his will is done fully, all the time until the kingdom comes. And now the last point. The prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do. And the church praying on earth what God wants to do. This prayer is not asking God to accomplish what we want him to do, but asking God to accomplish what he himself wants to accomplish. So we personally may have a feeling, I want this to happen. I really want you to deal with this. I want this to happen. That may not be God's will right now. We set it aside. But we ask God to accomplish what he himself wants to accomplish. If this is our heart's desire, he will make known to us what he wants to accomplish. What he wants to accomplish will be what we want to accomplish. And so we pray back to him, his will. And we can say, Sovereign God, Lord of heaven and earth, accomplish this in your way and time. We request, accomplish it in full. Accomplish it now. May your will be done on earth. And I conclude by expressing this longing, Lord, throughout your recovery, raise up brothers and sisters of all ages that more and more are cooperating with you, who are one will with you, and whose prayers express your will. Lord, for the glory of God, for the satisfaction of the desire of God's heart, may your will be done on earth. And may we pray prayers that express the will of God.